and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me per usual is the great Nate Eckert. I like how great and Nate rhyme, so I think that's what we're going to always be doing in the future. I know I've done that in the past, but you are great, Nate.
Thank you. There could be a lot of different things that I could be called, but great is great. There's nothing wrong with it. It rhymes. And there used to be, when I was a kid, Nate the Great, the book. Did you ever hear that or read it or hear about it at all when you were a kid, Alex?
No, I studied Alexander the Great, which is similar, but not
quite. So. Yeah, he did.
Welcome in, everybody. We are Futures Focused here with you. We got a lot of things to talk about, so we got to set some jokes aside here and get right on with it here. We have a sell high episode here for you guys. We're going over some buy low candidates last week, and I thought it was only fair to sort of give you a list of some guys that we feel might be some good sell highs for whatever reason, and perhaps you can extract some value that maybe won't be there in the upcoming months and cash out, if you will. You know, I never did this in Vegas. I should. But I always keep playing and then I lose all my money. So we don't want you to be like us in Vegas. We want you to get out ahead of the casino here. And so that's the goal at hand today. But we also have a lot of debuts. It's like debut season here in the MLB. Some of the favorites that we've been talking about for weeks, even months back to, you know, last season, they're all up now. It's crazy. You just look on your feed, on Twitter, or whatever you're on. I guess that's X now. And then, boom, new person's coming up, and several others are on the horizon. So definitely a couple of big names to talk about. And we'll start with the absolute biggest, although, man, he is following the Julio Adley Rutschman Bobby Witt strategy of not being very great. That is Jackson Holliday. He gets the call up to play. The Orioles got to be in the top list of most exciting teams in the big leagues right now. They're just must-see TV. They're fun. They're talented. And Jackson Holliday is doing absolutely nothing. So I was a little surprised about how early the call was. I felt like we would probably see him in the middle of the season. It was really quick. And right now, you know, I think he has one hit so far. Batting, I don't even know how to say this. 040, I guess. Oh, that's the way to say it. What do you think? I we've seen plenty of prospects do this going forward, but at least in the at bats, to me, he just doesn't quite look like he's quite ready in terms of the swing. It looks like he's pressing himself a little bit. What have you noticed so far with Jackson Holliday?
Well, first of all, I agree totally with you 100%. I feel like the Orioles kind of got carried away a bit. I know that it has to do with ticket sales and things of that nature, but really when you break it down, we're dealing with a kid that has immense pressure on his shoulders. Even though that team is completely stacked with top level prospects, Holliday, I think everyone can agree, is just a level above everyone. He had a great spring. I think that's also part of it, but things get real different when you're in those major league fields, you travel, go to different places. And usually I'm the one that is always preaching the fact that he's the son of a ex-major leaguer. And usually those players don't have nearly as high of a learning curve as, you know, your general prospect. But In my opinion, he's a little too young. I would have rather him, you know, have at least a month or two worth of AAA, you know, smashing the ball in AAA, hitting 370 or whatever he would probably do this year. And then bring him up, you know, have him at his absolute peak of confidence and then make the call. I'm with you. I think he's more than likely pressing a lot, trying to contribute. Colton Cowser is ripping the cover off everybody on the Orioles. Even Adley started hitting the ball today. Everybody is hitting the ball in that lineup, and to not hit the ball, it's got to be killing them, you know. But long term, obviously, it's a complete no discussion. But right now, he looks in over his head. Do I think he'll adjust and come back stronger than ever? Of course.
Certainly not a lot of analysis needed for him. I mean, he's going to be fine in the long term, but just not the huge, crazy burst onto the scene debut that you're always hoping for with some of these guys. But I did want to mention a little bit with Colton Cowser. You mentioned him a little bit earlier. This is a guy that, you know, we have Cowser, we have Kerstad, we have Holiday, and we have Connor Norby, kind of the big Mount Rushmore of prospects now for the Orioles. And this guy is just on fire right now. There's not much to say. Obviously, this is not who he's going to be in the long term, but this is sort of the guy in terms of power and speed. 4 homers, 3 stolen bases, 429 on base percentage right now, striking out a little high, 15, only 3 walks for that high batting average. But, you know, great to see him sort of force his way into the lineup so that we can see consistent at-bats. That was the fear with him, was that Austin Hayes out there with Santander and Mullins and everybody just sort of taking away some of his playing time. But I think if nothing else, he solidified at least, you know, a couple months worth of steady at-bats, even if he gets back down to sort of that 275 ish hitter that he probably really is in the long term. But this, you know, this is a sell low episode, or sell high. Or whatever. Sell high. Yeah, we want to sell high, not sell low. So I didn't put Cowser on my list. I had a couple of offers for him in some leagues too, and I can't trade him right now. What you think, that that's a mistake, or is he somebody that maybe is going to be an elite type of outfielder moving forward?
I don't think it's a mistake, because I, like you, also have Cowser in our league in the Zao Dynasty. He's always been a favorite of mine, and I'm not selling him personally, because I love him, and I think eventually, yeah, of course, he'll come back down to earth. But he is on my sell high list for the owners out there who really weren't on the train to begin with. Perhaps they weren't always sold on Cowser. And there are a couple of holes, like his strikeout rate is pretty high. But basically, at the end of the day, this is going to be the most value that you'll be getting out of Colton Cowser, the biggest bang for his buck right now, as opposed to a month or so down the road, or even maybe next year. This is right now, this is going to be the juiciest time to trade him. And I think if somebody is motivated enough to get rid of him, then this would be the time to do so. That's the only caveat I have about selling him.
Okay, so I had the offer. This is, I think, a pretty good name. See where you're at and test you on this. What about Roman Anthony and, let's say, another decent pitching prospect for Colton Cowser? What would you do in that situation?
Do you have a name on the pitching prospect?
Noah Schultz. How about that? Because that's who it was.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I like that. I'm selling.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to ride it out, I think, with him. He's an interesting case. Yeah, his ceiling's probably, but, you know, at the same time, this is going to be such a good offense. The left-handed bat in that does, you know, and that park doesn't hurt him nearly as much as, let's say, Connor Norby might be affected by that. So interesting stuff. All right, let's go over a few other names here. Let's go over a couple of your Dodger guy and see what your thoughts are on Andy Pahez getting the call. Just a few games here under his belt. You know, with Pahez, I always think that him and Michael Busch are sort of the same two type of guys that the Dodgers just never wanted to give a chance. And we see what Michael Busch is doing now for Chicago. I wonder if they panicked and said, okay, Pahez, let's see if you can do stuff like that. Certainly doesn't hurt that Chris Taylor forgot how to play baseball. But
yep.
Andy Pahez, what do you think of his debut so far? You probably know better than anybody about what you've seen in the small sample size so far.
Yeah. I watched every at bat. Pahez is always going to be a free swinging SOB. That's where I think he and Busch aren't the same. They're definitely the same with the way that the Dodgers have treated them. But Pahez is definitely more of a free swinger. He had a wonderful spring. He lost a ton of weight over the offseason. And his pop is still there. He was crushing the ball in AAA. And not only was it Chris Taylor with his, you know, 16 different moving parts in his swing that he has to get 16 of 16 correct in order to make contact. Jason Hayward was having health problems as well. So they've already specified that Pahez is going to see lefty and righties, which I love for his value going forward. If he was in a platoon situation, I wouldn't even advise anyone to pick him up. But considering that he's going to be in there every day, if they give him a legitimate shot, which I think they will, because they really just don't have anyone else right now, I think the hits will start falling. He makes hard contact all the time. And right now he's probably just a little overwhelmed with everything, you know, the MLB experience. It's only been a couple of games. He's 0 for 7 or 1 for 7. And, but I did like the single he hit. He went oppo, just went with it. Didn't try to pull it like he probably would have when he was in his younger, very early 20s. He was just a pull power guy, but I like seeing him go the other way and just letting the pitch come to him and taking what he can. And I think if he's going to have success at the major league level, that's exactly what he's going to have to do. So Pahez for me is definitely a buy and or a hold. And you could probably get him for on the cheap because of his start. He hasn't lit the world ablaze. So if you wanted to, you could probably get him pretty low right now.
All right, let's turn the Pahez and get to Blaze. You just mentioned. Look at that transition. Blaze Alexander. Whoa. This is the guy I don't think we've ever even mentioned, even when we do the Diamondbacks top 50. I don't know if we've ever
mentioned
Blaze. But this is the starting shortstop for a World Series team. And he's hitting well over 300. And don't worry about his defense because it's not good. He's horrible. Like there's Max Muncy and then there's Blaze Alexander and then there's everybody else. But that doesn't matter for dynasty purposes. He is getting a lot of playing time and he's doing really, really well right now. He's a guy that kind of just, you know, I love he's, you know, his name sticks out. As soon as you hear the name, you remember him. So I've been aware of him for several years now. And boom, here he is. So Blaze Alexander, I don't know, you know, he's not on my sell high list that I created. Again, I don't know how much you're going to be able to get for him. In the Highlander Dynasty League, I was able to pick him up as a free agent at the start of the year. So he's probably still available in a lot of leagues, to be honest. I'm not sure I want to sell him at all. I think as a middle infielder on a very good team, The only cause for concern is that defense. If it pulls him out of the lineup, there's already been a couple of headlines with his manager and discussing it. But, you know, last year in the minors, close to 290, not a huge amount of power, not a huge amount of speed, but somebody that's playing every day, middle of the infield on a good team that you can get on the cheap. So Blaze Alexander, worth mentioning. And then I wanted to go to another former Dodger here, Nick Nastrini. He was able to make his debut for the somewhat major league caliber team, the Chicago White Sox, kind of struggling right now, to say the least. But pretty decent start. He got another go in the rotation here coming up on Sunday, I believe. He went 5 innings, struck out 5, 2 walks. You know, the run support's going to be difficult. The team context certainly isn't good. I know you know a lot about him. You've talked a lot about him, but is he somebody that you could maybe go out and get? And I guess not so much go out and get, but would you start him in a dynasty league, you know, with perhaps maybe some regret if it doesn't go well?
I did start him in his debut. In our specific league, he didn't really do a whole lot because we don't have wins and we only really deal in quality starts and ultra quality starts, etc. But I watched that start. I watched all, you know, 85 pitches, and I was really happy with what I saw. Nastrini had a reputation when he was with the Dodgers of being a bit of a hothead. And when he would run into trouble, that's when the wheels would fall off. And he would do so by missing the strike zone. So that's what I was looking for. I wanted to see him get into trouble, and I wanted to see how he was going to pull himself out. So I got to say, watching him that day, he didn't look like the same pitcher, but in the best of ways. He was so, methodical, and he attacked the hitters. He wasn't afraid of the strike zone. His whip was only 1, so you know he's loading up that strike zone. But what I took away the most from it was his ability to miss bats when he did get into trouble. There was an instance where he was rolling through about 3, and then he was 0-2 against a pretty poor hitter, and he threw him a changeup just up in the zone. I mean, it was just a meatball, and the hitter like popped in between second and center, and it dropped for a base hit. Obviously, that's a terrible pitch selection. He missed his pitch. He shouldn't have been anywhere close to the zone because old boy would have swung at it and probably have missed. But these are the things that you learn at the major league level, and they always come back to haunt you. So depending upon his acumen, which I do think is pretty good because he did come up with the Dodgers, I think Nastrini will be a very serviceable, not like uber valuable, but one of those guys that you just have to have that eats up innings, doesn't do anything like too terrible, doesn't do anything too great. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't think he's going to get into too much trouble with the big innings because of his ability to miss bats and to induce weak contact. His fastball is really straight, and that's a little concerning, but his changeup is nasty. His slider is nasty, and he has really good control. So I would definitely buy Nastrini. You could get him for a song, I'm sure. And also I would hold him.
Another guy that made his debut this week was Jack Leiter. His debut was not nearly as decent as Nastrini's was. 7 earned runs to the Tigers. Ugh. And got him sent back down to Triple A. So Jack Leiter, somebody I've never really fought for on this podcast. I think at times you have liked him. In fact, I know that the stuff is just incredible. Like, there's no doubt about the stuff. But, like, I'm just looking at his last start in AAA here, and it's kind of what I've always thought of Jack Leiter, right? 10 strikeouts in 6 innings, but he gave up 3 runs, and they were all on home runs, and he hit a batter. To me, that's like the most Jack Leiter line ever, and that's in AAA, and so you can kind of go ahead and make the conversion to the big leagues, and boom, you have a guy that I'm just not excited about very much. So
I being a Jack Leiter fan, you know, with his days in Vandy, I watched him start so many times with Vandy. I mean, I was totally sold on him being an ace when he got to the bigs, but he somehow just kind of fell apart over the course of his minor league career. And I don't know if he thought he was going straight to the bigs, or maybe he was someone who really wanted, you know, the spotlight, but he got that spotlight the other day and he failed miserably. So will the real Jack Leiter stand up? I think he did stand up. And the fact that they demoted him right after, that doesn't speak very well to him.
To be fair, it was Lorenzen, who was always coming back, that is going to take his spot. So, but yeah, sure. I mean, you're not going to force the issue with a debut like that.
No.
A couple other guys. We don't need to talk about these two in detail, the two Pittsburgh starters. Jared Jones is the real deal. There's nothing left to talk about with him. And then Paul Skeens is starting to make hitters look like they're in high school in the minor leagues. With some of the stuff that he's throwing, it's just insane. He has to be up within a couple of weeks, so be ready for that. That'll be a very fun debut. And then one last guy, just to mention out, I think we kind of said Jackson Merrill, surprised that he kind of made the big league roster out of camp and struggled, and then boom, now he's had a couple multi-hit games, another hit tonight as we were recording. He certainly is seemingly here to stay now at this point. I think Jackson Merrill, you forget how young this kid is. I mean, he's got a huge future there in San Diego. So
huge.
Jackson Merrill, again, these guys aren't really buy or sell. You can't get them anymore. So, and I wouldn't sell them. Wouldn't sell Jared Jones. I wouldn't sell Jackson Merrill. And I definitely wouldn't sell Paul Skeens. So be ready for that. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get to our official list now of sell-high candidates. I have some guys I think you're going to be upset at me over. But it, again, not necessarily guys I don't like, but guys that we're trying to extract the most amount of value. I went to a couple of different lists and found guys that were really high that I think people, if they don't really know these guys well, they might just go for the name value. On that. But let's go ahead and break, and we will be right back after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. Futures Focus here with you. My name, Alex Sanchez. Nate Eckert joining me. And we are officially here on the sell high portion of the episode. A couple of things just to make sure that we are perfectly aware. We don't dislike these players per se. I know all of these guys on my list, I would definitely go pick up. Like, if they were free agents, I would go pick them up. No doubt about it. I'm not saying to drop these guys. Let's make sure that's crystal clear. What I'm saying for a lot of mine, and Nate, I know your list is a little bit different as you have kind of centered on the guys that have already made the big leagues. which is a great way to sell high too, like right before prospects make their debut. If you can kind of time that, if you don't believe in them, oh man, that is prime sell high territory. I've gone for a couple of guys that I've just seen high on top 100 lists that I just either I'm not waiting on, as you'll see with a couple of these. I'm just not going to wait forever for a guy that might not be super high in terms of a couple of the tools I'm looking for. And anyway, we'll just get right into it here. So I'll start with my first name here. This is a guy you'll see on top 30 lists, easy, maybe even top 20 lists, especially after some guys graduate. And that is Adell Amador for the Colorado Rockies. And I think that people get very excited about a Coors Field player playing in a premium position, and no doubt about that. His calling card, though, is the hit tool. And there is just no speed or power to this guy's game that's going to help you in fantasy. Defensively, I'm not taking anything into consideration. I just don't see a guy that's going to be top 20-ish value for what I could probably get for him. Like I'd probably have a lot of other guys. So last year in 2023, just to kind of remind you, he hit 12 home runs. And a couple of those were in rookie ball. He's young, and it's not like he's 18 either. Let's be honest. He's 21 right now. And stole 15 bases last year. And he did hit, you know, the average was very, very nice. No doubt about it. Walk to strikeout ratio, unbelievably good. But I'm not excited fantasy wise for guys that just walk and get base hits. It's Luis Arraez for me. You know, am I taking him on my team? If I, you know, for sure. But I don't think that people are drafting Luis Arraez in the first couple of rounds of drafts. And he's in his prime right now. So I think like Amador is kind of headed down that path, a guy that I would sell high right now. So I heard you laughing, Nate. Are you kind of against that? Or
No. I liked your argument for sure. I'm looking at his very brief stat line thus far. He's only had 27 at-bats so far this year. Surprisingly enough, he has 6 steals already through those 27 at-bats. So maybe the speed's burgeoning or something. I don't know. But I'm not drafting guys who are walking and getting base hits. I mean, it's pretty damn simple. Nobody wants that. And I agree. Amador's also a bit blocked at short with Tovar. He's not going anywhere. Maybe they put him at second. I mean, that's probably where he's going to end up. I don't know about his defense. I don't care about his defense. But speaking of that, you know, 65 hit tool that everybody's clamoring about, right now he's sitting on a 444 OPS, and I've got even better stat that backs up your Luis Arraez comp. He's got currently 111 slugging.
Yeah, no extra base hits this year in 36 plate appearances. Again, not to say I think he's on a very good trajectory to make the big leagues, but yeah, I'm not gonna go crazy. I think he's just rated too high with these top lists. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
And shout out to old school host David Gasper. Had no confidence in the Colorado Rockies, and nothing since he has left the podcast in the last 2 years has made that statement false in any way. So let's not forget the Rockies seem to screw up these guys as well. So
yes, I mean, look at Tovar. He's struggling. Yeah. You know, I mean, surface stats are good, but you look deeper and he's struggling. Man, there's no two ways around it. Look at Zach Veen, for crying out loud. Oh my. Okay.
All right. Let's hear one of yours here.
All right. So I'm just going to go straight for the jugular here, folks. Everybody love.
Did not help you with this list. I don't condone some of these names, and I think you're going with a couple of ones right away, but let's hear them.
All right. And again, disclaimer, these guys are, I mean, especially on my list, they're studs. There's no two ways around it. But this is sell high, right? And if you have to do it at a time when their stock is obviously the highest. And right now, everybody and their sister is going nuts over Jackson Churio. Now, if you remember back to our bold predictions episode, I said that he would have such a terrible start, he would be sent back down. Now, granted, that was a bold, very bold prediction. And just, you know, to hedge my own bet, I took him as my first player in the eighth round of my redraft league, and first player because I didn't have any draft picks until the eighth round. But honestly, I just traded him. He and your boy Francisco Alvarez for Brian Reynolds, and I'm completely at peace with that decision. Here's why. Churio on surface is hitting 230, but his expected batting average on Savant is 195. Now, say what you want about these expecteds, but what the expecteds do is they measure how well the player's hitting the ball. And I mean, exit velocity, K rate, walk rate, you name it, it's all in there. And these numbers do not lie. There's no two ways around it. And if anybody wants to challenge me on that, GQ_82 at Twitter. And please feel free. Expected slugging, only 342 thus far. Actual slugging, 393. And the worst of it all is his weighted on base average. For those who don't know, that's a great stat. It's better than average or pretty much all of them, OPS, all combined. It's singles are obviously good, but they're not as good as doubles. Triples are better than doubles. Home runs are better than all of them. So they're weighted. That's what weighted means. On base average takes into consideration your strikeouts and your walks, and everything else gets thrown in and you get a number back. Right now, his actual weighted on base average is only 293. Major league average, weighted on base average right now, is 317. His expected weighted on base average, which takes into consideration all those things I was just saying, exit velocity, launch angle, how well he's hitting the ball, period. Not results, but performance based. Again, his actual weighted on base is 293. His expected weighted on base, 254, which is pretty damn anemic. Right now, he's ranked number 250, right in between Gavin Lux and Brendan Rodgers. However, you may be saying, Nate, that's not really selling high, but not a lot of people are stat heads like me and you and everyone else that listens to this. So not a lot of people know about Savant, etc. This is me giving you guys a little bit of a heads up that Churio right now as a 20-year-old may not be as, you know, souped up as everybody was saying he would be. That's not to say he can't improve, but right now his value is still very high on the surface. He just hit his third home run the other day. He's got a great, you know, publicist or something. Somebody's putting them on pipeline on Twitter every damn day. Jackson Churio, you could still sell high on, and I would suggest you do so because I don't think he's any better than those two players I mentioned as of right this moment.
You make a lot of great points, and for whatever reason, Milwaukee has this like in between the coasts vibe where if you're not paying attention to them, you might miss a lot of stuff. And if you're just looking at the highlights, like if I ask the normal person, hey, what do you think Jackson Churio is hitting right now? I don't think many people are getting close to 230, you know?
No way. There's no way.
You could sell high on that. Now in a dynasty league where you're thinking long term, I can't get on board with selling him at all. But if you're kind of going for it this year and that's one of your big guys you've been waiting on, Yeah, this guy's not going to bring you to a championship this year. He's doing kind of what we said he would do. We said 2020 mm-hmm. potential with like a 240 batting average. I think that's like exactly what he's on pace for now, right? So yep.
Yeah, totally.
Not necessarily the best. It is probably not going to be great next year either. So, but, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, you know, Bobby Witt type of numbers I'm expecting, you know, and I would be disappointed if I didn't. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here's another guy that I've seen on top 50 lists. I know you know a lot about him. I'm going to go over a guy that, you know, if you have been following me, and I know not a lot of you are, there's like four of you that listen to what I say carefully. But if you are following what I say, I'm very quick to jump onto young teenage prospects, especially international guys. And Josue DePaula is someone that you got to jump on quickly if you want to have a chance. The same time, you should be able to jump off just as quickly. You can't hold on to these guys because they're so little known, so randomness that goes into this, that if you're wrong, you don't want to be stuck on this guy. Okay. You don't want to be like Carlos Colmenares, right? You don't want to be stuck on that train. You know, you got to get off. Even if you invest in him. So Josue DePaula is a guy that we have seen now quite a few at bats, and not like in the DSL or anything. I mean, he's been at Rancho. Okay. He has 400 plate appearances at Rancho Cucamonga Low A, and he has 2 home runs. The power may come later. I definitely think it should come. His good body, athletic, good bloodlines. Son, you know, he's the cousin of Stefan Marbury, so you know he's super athletic.
But Starberry. 2 home runs,
yeah, remember him. 2 home runs, and here's the thing that I really want to sell people on here for you to sell high on him. It's the defense. So if somebody is going to be playing poor defense and has Yordan Alvarez bat, that's totally fine. But that's sort of what you need to do if you're going to be a DH or be horrible in the outfield. And DePaula has graded out pretty below average in that department, which means the bat's got to play. And right now it's just not playing. Repeating the level here at Rancho at 2024, hitting 175, no home runs. And the speed is something that you cannot bank on either. If a guy is going to be an asset for you in stolen bases at the big league level as an 18, 19 year old in the minors, you're expecting 30 to 40 stolen bases, I'd imagine, in a full season. Mm-hmm. We got 14 from him last year. We're just not going to get speed from him either. You're hoping the power develops and you get a little, 30 homer, 300 bat, because the defense isn't going to allow him a lot of wiggle room. And a name that I've seen all over the place on top 50 lists, top 40 lists at certain times. And I think that it's, you know, if you can sell now and get something back for him, because chances are you didn't pay a lot for him. I think now is a great time for that. So as a Dodger fan, Nate, I hope I didn't upset you too much over that.
No, not at all.
The Dodgers just take forever with these prospects mm-hmm. too. Like you have to prove it over and over and over and over again before you get a chance with the Dodgers, which would be great if he could, but it's not like he's getting called up as a 20-year-old or anything anytime soon. So you got to wait a ton, and it just might not work out with him.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, Alex, the profile for DePaula in general and pretty much all players, like you mentioned, Yordan Alvarez, I mean, that's probably his best comp right now, that people are like – people that are really high on him, that's what they're wishing upon, dreaming upon. And I mean, second year in Rancho Cucamonga, he's got an 8.9 walk rate with a 22% K rate. It's not that bad. But again, not getting excited about guys who don't strike out a ton and barely walk and hit 175 with a 267 on base and a 250 slugging, and that's 517 OPS for those at home. And that's DePaula. I've always thought DePaula's little rise to prospect stardom was always a bit odd. He doesn't really fit into the Dodgers mold of like what they're usually looking for. If you want to invest in a really good hitting power guy down the line, I would suggest you look north to Lazaro Montes, the big old beast for the Mariners. Otherwise, I think you're going to be pretty disappointed in DePaula. Yeah.
Or just don't try to invest in DH teenagers down the line. Like,
well, Montes is actually really good.
I love Montes. First. Don't get me wrong. That was not a slight at Montes. I love him. But again, just in general, I think it's not a great plan to just bet on the bat so heavily. You want guys that have different paths to greatness in the big leagues so that they can be in the lineup for you.
And we kid about not caring about defense. I mean, that's true once they get there. But, you know, let's be honest, you have to get there via the defense somehow. I mean, they got to have some reason to bring you up. And if you can't help them defensively, that's 50% of baseball. So you're automatically hamstringing yourself, which makes it even more difficult to break if you're hit only and you can't hit. So.
All right, let's go to somebody that I know is on both of our lists now. And it's sort of the opposite of DePaula and even Amador, whose defense is not his calling card, but Mason Winn, who does have great defense. He's on both of our lists, kind of the only guy actually that we overlapped in our little Venn diagram here. So I'll let you go ahead and talk about Mason Winn and why he made your list, and we'll see if that's sort of the same reasoning that I had.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, Winn is very exciting. He's a great player to watch. He's a great player if I'm a executive for the St. Louis Cardinals or a teammate or the manager, but I'm not. I play fantasy baseball, and fantasy baseball is all about the offense. And right now, Mason Winn, on the surface, now this is again, I'm a big surface v under the surface kind of cat. On the surface right now, Mason Winn looks pretty decent. He's hitting 347 in the bigs, playing great defense, shortstop for the Cardinals. Even his slugging percentage is pretty impressive, 469. However, there's going to be some regression, folks. I hate to break it to you because he's been lucky. I would assume that's usually how this goes. And he's fast. I mean, he has great speed. So, you know, there's that to be said as well. However, if I'm invested in Mason Winn, I took a chance on a kid that I thought could probably go out, hit 300, maybe 20 to 25 bombs, 30 to 35 steals in his prime for 5 or 6 years. And right now, thus far, he just doesn't look like that's going to happen right now. However, because the surface stats are so good, you can get somebody who just doesn't do their homework, to the extent that Alex and I do, and really, you know, make out with a pretty decent haul. His expected batting average is 280. That's still pretty damn good, but compared to his actual average of 347, that's a pretty huge regression. But the most telling for me is his expected slugging. Again, his surface slugging, his actual slugging, is slugging that you see when you get on Yahoo or whatever site you use, 469. His expected slugging is 135 points lower at 334, which is a definite drop. And slugging percentage, 334, that's like a high school kid coming out and trying to hit college kids. And again, last but not least, you heard me preach on the weighted on base average. Well, there's a reason behind that, because, you know, it judges doubles, triples, things of that nature far heavier than singles. And I think what Wynn is doing right now, I think he's only hitting singles. That would be my guess just from looking at these stats. His actual weighted on base average, 381, which is almost on the verge of being elite. But his expected weighted on base average is 63 points lower at the league average, or right above it, 318. So I'm looking at, if I'm giving him a grading system, like if I'm going to say, yes, surface stats wise, he's a B plus, A minus. Everything else, I'd say a C. No higher, no lower, just a flat out C. And that's not very exciting. But again, somebody will buy on Mason Wynn.
Yeah. So 436 BABIP right now is insanely high. 24% hard hit rate is not very good at all.
So bad. So bad.
A couple other things there. Now, I think Mason Wynn is a 2020 guy in the 260 to 270 range. And so don't sell lower than something like that for the next couple of years. But if people are thinking of that 2030 guy, 2535 guy, oh man. And you can sell this hot start, you got to go for it. All right, let's go ahead and pick up the pace here a little bit. Give me just sort of like the one-liner reasoning for some of the players on your list. I will for mine as well. I'll give you an example, Nate. Just so we can try to get all these names in. I have a few more I just want to share here at the end. So rapid fire style, I have next on my list, Mason Miller, who I absolutely adore. And I love and cherish every pitch he does. I'm just scared that he's going to get hurt. And he's a closer right now. So he is all over Twitter, like you said, for some of those other guys. The injury history is just screaming sell high for Mason Miller. So give me one of your guys and kind of that short range answer, if you would.
Yeah, of course. Jared Jones. I know we just got done praising him, and he should be praised. I mean, this kid is the real deal. But because he's the real deal, how big of the kid gloves is Pittsburgh prepared to put on Jared Jones? Because the kid goes out. He only has 57 pitches, 50 of them are strikes, and I got a stat for you right here, Alex. This is great stuff, absolutely great stuff. Jones has generated 15 swings and misses in that last start. He generated 15 swings and misses. That gives him 73 swings and misses after only four career starts. That's the most for any big league pitcher since the pitch tracking stat began in 2008. I'm not talking rookies. I'm not talking their first four. I'm talking period. The most swings and misses after four career starts ever. So because of that, Pittsburgh doesn't want to hurt their valuable, you know, company that makes crystals? I can't think of it. But anyway, they want to protect him. He's down for it. I've read the quotes. And if they continue to shut him down after five innings, I'm sorry, but five innings in fantasy baseball, that does nothing for your stats, nothing for your categories, nothing for other than good decimals and Ks. That's it. You're not getting any wins, not with Pittsburgh. Let's be honest. You're never going to get a quality start because, frankly, that's impossible when you only throw five innings. So, honestly, what's the point of even owning Jared Jones unless you have him in a dynasty league? If this is exactly what they're going to do. And I'm afraid that Pittsburgh, knowing Pittsburgh, I have a feeling that's probably what they're going to do. So right now, you should have sold them yesterday because nobody has a better sell high opportunity than Jared Jones. I would just, you know, shiver to think who you could get for him right now. And I think everyone out there should do exactly that yesterday.
in redraft leagues, not all dynasty leagues. But yes.
Right, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
My next one is down that Josue de Paula road with Sebastian Walcott, the teenager for the Rangers. The issues I have with him are the insane K rate, 51 strikeouts and only 157 at bats last year. He's super far away with so many things that can go wrong. And he's already had issues with handling his emotions and team suspensions and stuff like that. Just not a guy that I'm willing to bet on right now. And, you know, I'm seeing huge rankings for him on somebody that's, you know, 5 years away, perhaps. And with, you know, some crazy, he might make it, but I'm just not going to go down that road. That's going to be twisting and curving all the way where at any point it could just come down. So sell Walcott if you can. All right. Who else do you got?
I got Oswaldo Cabrera, the shortstop turned outfielder for the New York Yankees. Here's a couple of reasons why. For one, he's a Yankee. Everybody and their sister knows who the Yankees are, and therefore they know who Oswaldo Cabrera is. That, and he's had a great start, surface stats-wise. 309 average, 545 slugging, and a 387 weighted on base average, until I show you the expecteds. His average is only supposed to be 244, which isn't still terrible, but it gets worse. That 454 slugging I just mentioned, it's actually, and the expected slugging is 207 points lower, 338 expected slugging. Yuck. Even worse, his actual weighted on base percentage is 387, his expected 285. That's 102 points worse.
Yeah, that's a great call. I think that's never a bad idea to sell high on Yankees guys, especially guys that were utility, you know, ceiling guys that we thought in a year ago. My next guy, I think, is a good example of you got to sell this guy high, and I think you can get a lot for him. And you just, this is just gonna, you're going to know more about baseball than your opponent. That's what you're hoping for here. So it's Rhett Lauder, the right-handed pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, who we didn't get to see until this year, and he's off to a fantastic start. 10 strikeouts and 9 innings over 2 starts. But here's a couple of things to keep in mind. I mean, you could sell this guy in so many different ways. You got a first-round pick. You have an exciting team. You have huge stats right now on the surface. One walk only, one run given up. But here's the thing. You have a 22-year-old in high A doing this. So not extremely impressive. Also, premium stuff is just not there. So you think, oh, this guy striking out all these with the Jared Joneses of the world, he's throwing 98, 99. No, he's going to be in the low 90s for you. And he doesn't really have a plus pitch besides his changeup. That's going to be the only one that maybe is plus right now, and you would just, you know, if that continues and you tick off a couple miles per hour, I'm not too excited. So I think Lauder is definitely a big league pitcher right now. If you can sell him as an ace of the future for the Reds, go for it. I see him as like a 3.54 ERA type of guy that's just going to be in the league forever, and have like, you know, an 8K per 9, something like that. Just nothing super crazy. So if you're a good salesman, he's somebody that I would maybe try to go and sell to somebody and get somebody a like.
Good stuff. Good stuff, my friend.
All right. Give me two more if you can.
Let's see. I don't have two more, but one more. Well, I spoke about it a little bit earlier. And again, this is because you will not find his value any higher. Is Colton Cowser. His 30.6% strikeout rate is concerning. I don't have any of his expecteds right off the top, but I would assume they're pretty damn good because he's been crushing the ball. But this is it, folks. This is what I'm trying to say. If you're not that high on Cowser, and you haven't been that high on Cowser, and especially if you're in redrafts, you can sell this guy for damn near anything. Like, I mean, everybody needs Colton Cowser in their life right this moment. incredible lineup. And as I keep talking, I'm selling myself back to not selling him. However, I love Colton Cowser and I always have. But there are guys out there who just frankly didn't know who he was up until a week or so ago. And for those guys out there, those are the ones that you want to target. Those are the ones you want to burn, because he's not going to keep up all these numbers. It's just going to be impossible. He's a great player, but like we were saying earlier, I'm thinking 270, 275 is probably what we're looking at more so with his average, maybe 850 OPS high mark this year. And that's nowhere close to what he's projected to do right now. So I think it's an easy sell. It's just dependent upon how high you are on him and if it's in what league you're in and where your team is also. If you can spare it, sell.
Yeah, if you're an active negotiator and you trade a lot in your leagues, Cowser is just you have to at least look into it. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't see what you might be able to get. But man, his under the hood metrics also are just phenomenal.
Hard hit rates
at 38%, 10% barrel rate, expected slugging is at 582.
He's got
an above like near 80 percentile, 85% sprint speed. But you have to look into these type of guys. I think just a public service announcement, if nothing else. All right, I got two more names for you. Oh, you got something else?
Yeah, I was just gonna say on top of that, just everything you just said, Alex, spot on. But let me just tell you a little bit more. As far as expectations are concerned, people out there are seeing his 400 average, they're seeing his 800 slugging, and they're seeing his 517 weighted on base average, which is extraordinary, out of this world. But when you take it all back down, you're looking under the hood, and those numbers are incredible, there are still people out there who don't understand what all of this stuff means. They still only look at the surface stats. So for them, they're looking at Babe Ruth, right? So like you just said, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not at least fishing him. Like, just put him on the lure and throw him out there and see what kind of fat bass you could bring back in, you know?
I got two more names for you. Again, these guys have not made their debut. I think the running theme for today was I was picking some guys that are not quite ready yet that you might be able to sell off and not regret, whereas you are looking at guys that, you know, might be down the line that you might regret kind of selling. But if you're in it for this year and next year, they're good names to send off. If you go along with that. So these next two names are going to go along with that. These you guys are probably not going to see either of these guys this year. The first one here I know you like a lot, but it's Max Clark. Just because a lot of people, you know, that are doing the dynasty thing see Max Clark on the same level as Langford and Cruz, as those elite prospects from last year's draft. I don't think he's in that same tier. If they do, you got to sell. I just think that you're looking at a solid Andrew Benintendi type of player, and I know you don't agree with that.
But terrible, terrible comp.
15 homer, 25 stolen base guy, maybe. So if you think that, I know, like, for instance, if I had Max Clark, I'd be happy to sell him off to you, Nate. So there you go. There's a perfect example of how that might work. The other guy here isn't not so much the talent on this one. I think all these other ones I did critique some of the talent, but it's Jacob Mizorowski for the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm a little scarred from Spencer Strider, so you'll have to forgive me. If you throw hard, I'm just assuming that you're going to get hurt and break my heart. So I don't want that to happen with me and Mizorowski, because if I have injuries turned off, this is a guy I would never sell in a million years. But I just can't imagine that he's going to stay healthy. He's lanky, tall. It's, you know, there's a difference between tall, muscular, like a kind of a Verlander guy, even though he's been hurt too.
Skeens.
Skeens is a muscular. But then there's lanky, like Tristan McKenzie is obviously like the biggest, like, skinniest guy ever, but lanky Labyrinth. And tall, a little scary. So Mizurowski scares the daylights out of me. And also, to be honest, like with the pub that his fastball gets, you would think that he is just killing it in the minor leagues. But, you know, last year, 5 ERA in double A for 5 games, 3 ERA in 9 games at low A. And the strikeout rate isn't as high as you think for a guy that's touching 100 miles per hour every game. And this year, 15 Ks in 10 innings, certainly good, but 5 ERA, short sample size. But a guy that, you know, I've had some people, you know, come and offer him for top 10, top 15 guys and think it's a fair deal on my team. And I just I couldn't ever do that.
Wow.
And I'm an anti-pitching prospect guy to begin with. So that's the guy that I might look to sell as well. All right, did it.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything else to add, Nate? I think we're good. I think I got all the names I wanted to. So
I was curious about your Mizurowski argument, and I'm with you on that. Somebody with his dirty, dirty, dirty stuff and that extension that he gets on his fastball should not have an ERA anywhere close to 5.35, and I don't care if it has anything to do with his control, period. People should not be able to hit his stuff. But I think it does have to do with his control, because right now, as of today, walk through 9 innings ratio, check this out, 9.8.
Done. Yeah, he's 6'6", 190, dude. Like I weigh more than him, and I'm 6 inches shorter. And I'm a somewhat in shape guy, you know. So it's like, not some way, buddy. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Futures Focus. Nate Eckert was joining me. My name is Alex Sanchez. Lots more to cover up. We'll come back at you next week. I'm sure there's gonna be some debuts to go over, some that we might expect. I think Orelvis Martinez is going to be called up pretty soon. I think the Braves are one injury away from seeing AJSS and Waldrip. There's lots of guys. And I'm sure there's some guys that are going to come up, like the Blaze Alexanders of the world. And all of a sudden, boom, here we go. We're talking
Will about Warren. Will Warren.
Will Warren,
the pitcher for the Yankees.
Pitcher injuries will happen quick, and sometimes it's just about whose turn in the rotation it is too. So we will look over that, and we'll be back with you shortly. Futures Focus again. Thanks for listening so far and all the way through. If you did to this point, and if you could, leave a nice 5-star review if you liked it. And if you didn't, don't. It's as simple as that. All right, Nate, we're out. Futures Focus. We'll see you next week.
Deuces.